You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Sacred Space, hosted by Beatrice Corbo.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Burn away my fears and wipe away my tears and trust in you are here, Holy Spirit.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Sacred Space Radio Maria. I'm your host, Beatrice, and today we continue to talk about a very special place on Earth, Medjugorje. My guest today, Angela Matza, has visited Medjugorje numerous times. Her mission is to bring Medjugorje home, and Angela will explain what she means by this in a few moments. But first, let us begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, as we discussed last time, Mother Mary has been appearing in a small village of Medjugorje, located in Bosnia-Herzegovina, for the past 42 years, and she continues to appear daily to visionaries, Vika, Ivan, and Maria. The other three visionaries, Mariana, Ivana, and Jacob, receive apparitions once a year. Our Blessed Mother's mission through her messages is to bring people back to God, back to her Son. In her message of this past June, she states, "Little children, I am calling you. Return to God and to prayer, and God will bless you abundantly. Thank you for having responded to my call." And on July 25th, our Heavenly Mother says, "Dear children, in this time of grace, in which the Most High sends me to you to love and to guide you on the way of conversion, offer your prayers and sacrifices for all those who are far away and have not come to know God's love. You, little children, be witnesses of love and peace for all the peaceless hearts. Thank you for having responded to my call." Well, when I visited Medjugorje, I personally felt the love and the peace that this place contains. There is a feeling of belonging and connection among the pilgrims who come from all over the world. One cannot help but spread the news of this beautiful feeling experienced and the news of God's love for us. Mother Mary gives us a mission to offer our prayers and sacrifices for those who do not know God's love. She tells us to be witnesses of love and peace for all the peaceless hearts. And Angela has taken this message to heart. It has transformed her life, and now she is committed to helping as many people as possible to experience this transformation as they get to know God by bringing Medjugorje home. Welcome, Angela, and thank you for being part of our program today.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for having me today, yeah. Beatrice. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yes, I received a healing from an incurable disease in Medjugorje. In the year 2000, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, mm-hmm. which is a disease of the bowel. I had many strictures in my bowels and inflammation. Prior to that, I was working down on Bay Street in a very high-stressed job. I was running the real estate investment banking department, long hours, very stressful. And at the time, I really didn't have an option to leave my job because financially we just couldn't afford it. But yes, so what I did one day, I remember on the Sunday afternoon before Mass, I was in the chapel with my friend Franca and we were praying. And I don't know why I asked this, but I said, Lord, please give me a break. Even if you have to put me in the hospital for a week, do wow. what you have to do just to...
Yeah, you were really exhausted.
I was really exhausted and I was at my wit's end to mm-hmm. to know what to do. So... believe it or not, in the next few minutes, I actually had an attack, which was something that I started experiencing at that time anyways, but I had a really bad attack.
An attack, like a painful attack
in your abdomen? A painful attack in my abdomen. I went to the washroom, started vomiting, and wow. she called my husband in the meantime, and we ended up going to the hospital. I spent a week in one hospital with no food, and the head of the gastroenterology department came to me and said, if I were you, I'd go down to Mount Sinai, which is a hospital more equipped for what I have. Mm-hmm. And when they saw me, they didn't much of tests, and they realized that my Crohn's was very inflamed. There was one area that the strictures were so bad that, you know, it was a miracle that I was even passing any bowels.
Wow. And this just happened right after you thought those words. You had that.
Yes,
that
it happened right away.
You had no symptoms before then.
No.
That's you have to be careful what you pray for.
Yes, I know. That's still true.
Yeah.
But I got my wish. Yeah. But so I had an operation mm-hmm. and they removed 2 feet of my bowel. And so for the next 12 years after that, I still had complications, issues. I had scar tissues where they operated. I still had strictures and my daily activities were very limited. I wasn't working anymore, so I didn't just get a week off work. I got 15 years off work.
Oh, so you decided to quit your job at that time.
I had no choice. I was going to the washroom 20 times a day.
Right, yes.
I was in and out of the hospital once a month with bowel blockages. And mm-hmm. so that was my life for 12 years.
Right.
On the 12th year, I'll never forget, I went to Medjugorje. So I went to Medjugorje in year 2000 when I first got diagnosed. And in that time, I also had an attack while I was in Medjugorje. And it's mm-hmm. funny because I was with a friend, Filippo, and his daughters were there. And I had an attack and I fell to the floor. And the daughters saw that I was on the floor and they called out to their father, Papa, Angel's on the floor. He said, oh, she's just slain in the spirit.
Okay.
She says, No, I don't think she's slain in the spirit.
Okay.
So they realized that I had an attack and they brought me back to the pensione. And on the way to the pensione, it was raining, and I'll never forget this, but I was in the front seat, crouched over in pain, and I looked out the window, and on the lawns of one of the houses, I saw an 8-foot statue of our Blessed Mother Mary, all white, the vision of Mother Mary Medjugorje, the statue. And I thought to myself, when I feel better, I'm going to go back to that statue. Mm-hmm. Anyways, this attack didn't last a week like it normally does in the hospital. It was gone within the night because the people that I was with were outside my door praying in a circle the whole night.
Right.
And my blockage cleared.
Wonderful.
Overnight. And the next day I was able to go back to the statue, but the statue wasn't there.
Oh, so you had a vision.
I had a vision of our Blessed Mother. It was almost like she was saying, my child, don't worry. I'm taking care of you.
Yeah. How beautiful. That's, that is a really a dramatic experience, a dramatic, brought your illness and your experience just brought you closer to Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in 2012, Filippo and his brother were going to Medjugorje and I had a real desire to go back and it was all set to go. I was able to go.
This is 12 years later.
12 years later, okay. Still battling with the disease. I've been on many protocols, injections that were $1,000 an injection, but they're all covered by mm-hmm. research. Nothing worked for me.
Right.
The doctor used to always say to me, what do you think I am, God?
Mm-hmm.
Because there was really no help for me. And so in the year 2012, when Filippo and his brother were going to Medjugorje, I thought this is a good time to go. But then I realized that there's only two men going. I didn't feel comfortable going on my own. But my husband gave me permission, but there was something saying to me, no.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, that night when they left for Medjugorje, I had an attack.
Oh.
And it put me back in the hospital.
Yeah.
And in that weekend that I was there, my husband was out of town at a hockey tournament. So they took care of me for the the 2 days in the hospital, mm-hmm. intravenous and all. They tried to clear my stomach, but we had to wait till my husband got back for me to have an operation. I needed to have another operation. So the doctor gave me a CAT scan, and they showed that the Crohn's was present in three different spots, but in one spot it was major. And they basically said to me, if we don't operate, you're going to be on a feeding tube for the rest of your life.
Oh my goodness.
So they sent me home, believe it or not, for that one night. I went home and I was very nervous and anxious. And in the interim, my husband had called Filippo's wife, Giovanna, and Giovanna called Filippo because he was in Medjugorje, and they started praying for me. Mm-hmm. And when I went home, I went on my iPad and I joined a group climbing Apparition Hill on iPad. And Filippo was climbing Cross Mountain at the same time. So I was climbing Cross Mountain with my iPad. He was climbing the mountain himself.
Right.
And while he was climbing up the mountain, he found a rock in the shape of an angel kneeling.
Wow.
And he knew that that was me. And so they offered up prayers for me while they were climbing up the mountain. They put the rock at the cross. I had the same vision climbing with this crew that I was up the mountain and I'm kneeling at the cross. And when he came down, he called me and he said, Angela, don't worry, they're not going to find anything. I said, Filippo, they already did. Right. And he said, no, they're not going to find anything. I go, okay. I go, whatever our Lord wants, right?
Right.
So I was scheduled to have an operation that next morning at 9 a.m. It was about a five-hour operation. When I opened my eyes, it was 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, is it 10:30 at night? And it was 10:30 in the morning. It was only an hour and a half later. The surgeon came in to see me once I woken up. And she said to me, I don't know what to tell you. She said, I literally took your bowels out of your body and mm-hmm. inspected it inch by inch. She goes, even if I wanted to cut, I wouldn't have known where to cut.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did right away is they called my specialist and they brought me into a colonoscopy with the surgeon because they couldn't understand how it is that they couldn't see the Crohn's. So they went in to do a colonoscopy. When my specialist came out of that room, he looked across the room to me and he didn't even say anything to me. He just stared at me and walked away. And I've never seen him since then. He didn't have words for me.
Really?
And this is a doctor who always had words for me.
Right. So you had a relationship with this doctor.
Yes, for 12 years.
Yeah,
so
right.
He didn't know what to tell me. So he just basically left. The surgeon came up to me afterwards. She wrote on the papers, no Crohn's. She goes, you don't have Crohn's. We couldn't find any trace of Crohn's. I go, but what about the CAT scan? She goes, I don't know what to tell you.
Wow, that's a miracle.
Yeah, it's a
when
miracle.
Something so, you can't explain what it is,
exactly,
it's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
And praise God, you received a miracle. And it's I didn't know this story. I knew you received a healing in Medjugorje, but I didn't realize that you were here and Filippo was there.
Yes, yes.
And, it's just the power of prayer.
Yes, yes.
And
absolutely, the power
and
of prayer.
The intercession of our Blessed Mother with her son.
Yeah.
And so after that, like now you're healed.
Mm-hmm. And there's other things that happened to confirm. So when I received my healing, that Sunday, the scripture was my two favorite scriptures, the lady who hemorrhaged for 12 years and the little girl who was resurrected after 12 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
And
both
I had
the 12.
Healing, and I was my sickness was for 12 years. And at the beginning of that year, I had consecrated my year to St. Joseph. Our Lady of Medjugorje says, pick a saint or that you want to consecrate the year to. And I consecrated the year to St. Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the novena to St. Joseph. And the night after I got home, a friend of mine called me, says, would you like to go to St. Joseph the Worker for a healing service? I go, okay, I feel fine. Let's go. My mother came with me and a couple of friends came. And there was a priest from India. And all he did was walk up to the altar. He praised God for 2 seconds. He turned around and he said, there's someone here who has been battling a disease of the intestines. God has healed you. And he walked off the altar and walked away. And all the people that I knew in that church came up to me and said, that's you. I go, okay. And I was just like overwhelmed because I wasn't expecting that. And especially since St. Joseph, and it happened at the church St. Joseph. And so St. Joseph for me is very special. But something continuously happened in my last pilgrimage. There was a lady on my pilgrimage who was from St. Joseph the Worker. And when I gave my testimony of healing, she came up to me afterwards and she said, but you don't understand that I'm the lady who brought those Indian priests here during that time. I'm the only one who brought them here. She goes, do you know the name of the priest that actually proclaimed your healing? I go, no, his name is Joseph.
My goodness.
I just found that out last
week. Okay, we spoke about it this previous time. This is not a coincidence.
No.
This is definitely a God incident.
Yes, yes.
Definitely a God incident.
Yes.
And it's just so beautiful that, your testimony just strengthens the faith of so many. And thank you for sharing that with us. But since that time, you've been healed and you've been going back to Medjugorje many, many times. Yes. You're bringing people back and you're on a mission.
Yes.
Your mission, you're calling it Bring Medjugorje Home.
Yes.
Can you talk about that? Because I love that. Bring Medjugorje Home.
Yes. Medjugorje, I've been following Medjugorje since the very beginning. Since I was a teenager, I've been following her messages. And in a very powerful way, her messages have molded me to who I am today. I understand her messages. I understand what she's trying to teach us. And the importance of her messages is she's showing us how to live, mm-hmm. how to live in the right way, how to love in the right way. Mm-hmm. And this is what the world needs right now. We need a shift in the way that we're living. And so many people are far from God, mm-hmm. have forgotten God. And for me, Medjugorje and the messages of Medjugorje are so important. And I truly believe that we have to start bringing those messages here into our home. And so many people can't make their way to Medjugorje.
Right. It is. I just came back and it is quite a pilgrimage, not only the financial part of it, but even the distance, yes. to, you know, the flights and everything. It is a pilgrimage. Major sacrifice.
Yes.
So to go there. Yeah.
The project, it's funny because the idea of Project Bring Medjugorje Home came to me during Mass in the morning of the actual feast day of Medjugorje. Mm-hmm. And I just saw the words come across my mind, Project Bring Medjugorje Home. And so what I did was I gathered the people that I've been bringing to Medjugorje, I called them together, and we had a prayer session. And I brought on Zoom our guide from Medjugorje, and she started talking about Medjugorje, the five stones. Mm-hmm. And we gave them a taste of Medjugorje and the messages of Medjugorje. And for me, the messages of Medjugorje are very simple. They're very clear.
Right.
You know, the five stones. Our Lady trying to teach us how to love in the right way, how to pray with the heart. Mm-hmm. You know, we go through the motions sometimes of our prayers, but when we pray to have a real encounter with the Lord, you mm-hmm. know, the power of confession.
Right. And I've witnessed that. Yes. I witnessed that when I was there.
Yes.
People standing in line for a long time. Yes. And there were hundreds of booths,
yes.
in all different language,
yes.
where people could, you know, go to confess in their own native language.
Yes.
And what really struck me was once they went to confession, when they came out, mm-hmm. their faces were transformed. Mm-hmm. Their faces, it almost looked like they had no more wrinkles. Like,
yes.
they're just a beautiful sense of serenity and peacefulness emitting from their facial expressions.
Yes.
Just beautiful.
Yes. Well, in my last pilgrimage, I had many people that had not been to Medjugorje before but have not been to confession in years. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of people who hadn't been in over 12 years. And I was there waiting for them when they came out of the confession. And the first thing they did was they came up to me crying like a baby, hugging me and thanking me for bringing them to Medjugorje, because for the first time, they felt freedom.
Right. I know. That's a miracle in itself,
you know,
isn't it? Yeah.
It's very hard to explain Medjugorje, you know, in words. For me, Medjugorje is heaven on earth.
Yes.
There is a supernatural peace in Medjugorje that doesn't exist anywhere else.
Truly agree.
You know, and our Blessed Mother's there. And recently I had a vision where a mother is holding a child in her arms, breastfeeding the child. And this is what Our Lady's doing for 42 years. We're all very malnutrition children. Mm-hmm. And we need nutrients. We need nutrition. We need to be fed and to be brought back to life, because we've forgotten God. And she takes us in her arms in Medjugorje, and she feeds us the milk of her son.
Right.
And it's. She says, you know, one day you will lament my coming here, because you will understand then why I've been coming for such a long period of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so for me, Medjugorje is just she's showing me a way of life that's yeah. different than what the world is trying to tell me.
Yeah.
You know, she's taught me the importance of praying the rosary daily, the power of the rosary. You know, one Hail Mary is a blow to the head of Satan, you know, and the power of the Word of God, which is something that we need to be rooted in. We really need the Word of God to give us that guidance and that strength that we need every day to give us the clear direction of what we have to do in the world that's, you know, gone astray.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the stones of Medjugorje,
yeah,
you know?
What is it? Prayer, fasting.
And fasting, yes.
Mass, attending Mass,
yes.
Confession.
Rosary.
And the rosary. Yes. Yeah, rosary. That's definitely, that's a huge weapon.
Yes.
Yeah.
I tell my pilgrims, you know, when you go to Medjugorje, Our Lady, the image that I have is, imagine a sift, and you put flour in the sift, and when you put the flour in the sift, it's very clumpy. Mm-hmm. But when you sift it, it comes out very refined and smooth and pliable. And that's what our mother does in Medjugorje. She gently sifts us.
Yeah.
Because for us, our biggest battle is ourselves. The biggest, you know, when Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me, I think we are the biggest cross that we have. You know, those things within us that, you know, hinder us from loving in the right way, hinder us from looking at our brothers and sisters, not as strangers, but as brothers and sisters, those things within us that we need to work out. And this is what Our Lady in Medjugorje does. She brings to the surface those things within us. She says, my child, you need to fix this. You need to change this. You know, things within us that prevent us from loving mm-hmm. each other.
Or prevent us from knowing who we are. That's, I think, the biggest problem in our society today is that we're all lost.
Yes.
We don't know who we are. We've forgotten that we are God's beloved children.
Children, yes.
That's our identity.
Yes, yes.
And
it's funny that you're saying that, because in my last gathering with the groups of Medjugorje in the project Bring Medjugorje Home, we were singing songs with motion, and people, mm-hmm. and I was looking at the people, how they were dancing like children. It's so true. We've forgotten that we are children of God, not childish,
no. Children
of God. And when a parent sees a child laughing and dancing and joyful and praising them, that brings joy to the parent.
Definitely.
And, you know, we've forgotten that.
Yeah.
We've forgotten to connect to that inner child within us. And I think it's so very important that this is one of the fruits of Medjugorje.
Yeah.
You know, and right now there's the Youth Fest going on in Medjugorje. And if you go on YouTube and you see all the images and the videos of them, they're all dancing and praising God, like little children of God. And it's such a beautiful thing to see. So
it is. I was present at that prayer service, and I was part of the group dancing and singing. And I have to say, it was a beautiful experience of freedom.
Yes, yes.
You know, and joy, yes. much joy, Amen. You know. Yeah, it was just quite beautiful.
And this is our attempt to bring Medjugorje here. We're going to be meeting once a month, so hopefully I'm going to be able to bring on Zoom Father Leon, who is the priest, the head priest of St. James in Medjugorje, and even maybe visionaries. Like during COVID, we had Maria come online and give us a Zoom talk. Brianna, the locutionist, came online and gave us a talk. So I want to continue to do that here as well.
So that is part of your program of bringing Medjugorje home is actually having Zoom interviews or Zoom meetings with the people who are in Medjugorje.
In Medjugorje, yeah.
That is very, very powerful because, like you said, there's a lot of people who would love to go but can't make it. And now you've been there so many times, Angela. Tell me, is every time that you go different from the last, or how does it feel like? When it's like, I would imagine I've only been there once, but now that if I were to go again, I have certain expectations, what to see, what I'm going to feel. But I'm just wondering if there's always an element of surprise that happens every time you go.
Okay, so I've been many times, and every time is different. Every time I go, Our Lady does something new in me.
Mm-hmm.
She does something different in me, because there's always something within us that needs to be worked out. It's always a different experience. There's not much to do in Medjugorje, but it's not about what you're doing in Medjugorje. It's about having an encounter with your own heart through the heart of Mary to her son. And it's all about conversion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these pilgrimages that I do, they're not about going here and there. And it's not that kind of pilgrimage.
No, it's not a tourist
thing. Even like if you go to the Holy Land and those in Fatima, it's not like that.
No.
You're going to Medjugorje for healing. I think of Medjugorje as the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all sick, and we need to go to Medjugorje and find healing, because this is what Our Lady does. She takes hold of us, and she reveals things to us, but in a gentle, motherly way.
Yes.
Not to shock us, not to alienate us, but she does it in such a beautiful way that when you come back from Medjugorje, you know, you hope that what she's done in you is going to inspire you to work on yourself,
mm-hmm.
to pay attention to those things that are going on in your heart, because it's all about the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Our whole life here is all about the heart.
Yeah.
And so many times we forget our hearts. We don't even hear our heartbeats some days.
Yeah,
because we forget that we have a heart.
That we have all the distractions around us. You know, I mean, social media, iPhones, traffic, construction. Yes. It's just like all those things are so physically overwhelming. Yes. That they take out all that noise. We can't hear what's happening within ourselves.
Amen. It's so true. And it's funny because when you go to Medjugorje, the pace slows down so much. It's almost like we're running, and then all of a sudden we take hold of our mother's hand, and she walks with us really slowly.
So true.
she stops us in our tracks.
I love that analogy. I love that analogy.
Yeah, she takes hold of our hands as soon as we get to Medjugorje, and we slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a couple of days to get into Medjugorje. It's not something that happens right away. It takes a couple of days to get into that mode, because we're on such a high strung lifestyle without even realizing it that we are, until we encounter Medjugorje. Mm-hmm. And then we realize that we're really living a fast pace.
I know.
And so she slows us down and she makes us aware of what's going on inside. And just the people there, it's incredible. It's almost like we are the best of who we are in Medjugorje.
It's so true. And I think that's where I enjoy that feeling of being connected.
Yes.
Because there, no words need to be spoken.
No.
We're all on the same page.
Yes.
And we're all thinking the same thing, and we're all loving one another. We're all praising God.
Yes.
We're all opening up our hearts to let God work in us.
Yes.
So it's a real sense of being
on
one in Christ. Yeah,
it's so
heaven
true.
On earth.
It's
not boring at all.
You know,
some people,
it's not boring at all.
It's quite beautiful.
Yes.
Coming back home, now you have this project that you're doing, you know, bringing Medjugorje home. But sometimes, like when I came back home from Medjugorje, I felt a little bit like I was so touched by my experiences I've had, but there was a little bit of sadness because I just really wanted to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's kind of like you have to bring you come back down to reality.
Yes.
And there's a bit of a struggle that goes on within yourself to keep that spirit, keep that feeling alive.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And of course that is aided through prayer.
Yes.
And through surrendering. But have you, you've gone back and forth so many times.
That's why I go back and forth so many times, because I want to rekindle what I experienced. But it's like the transfiguration, you know, how they love to be on the mountaintop. They wanted to pitch a tent, and Medjugorje is like the mountain. You know, for me, Medjugorje has become my mountain. We were there the last time, and there was a priest that gave us a talk, and he said, find your mountain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Jesus used to pray, he used to go up the mountain to be alone with the Father. And I've come to understand that Medjugorje is my mountain.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place that I go to reconnect, because it is very difficult in this environment that we're in to really keep our prayer the way we are in Medjugorje.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Lord knows. You know, all he asks is that we give our hearts and he does the rest, you know.
That's right.
He really does help us. And we have to go through so many different trials here to bring us to that point so that we can learn what we've learned in Medjugorje, how to put it into practice, how to love in the right way. Like, I believe it or not, the Lord has been really stretching me in that regard, how to look at my brothers and sisters, especially those who, you know, hurt me or making me upset, whatever, how to put love in the first place and to really reach out in that love. And I've come to understand that when you choose love and you don't run away and you don't, you know, have unforgiveness in your heart, the devil can't touch you.
I totally agree with that. Yeah.
When you choose to act in that love of God, the devil can't touch you. We have such a powerful tool in God's love.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have to learn how to love. The world has a distorted version of what love is.
Mm-hmm.
But Our Lady has been teaching me how to love in the right way. And by no means of the imagination, if I got there, I'm still learning. It's still such a learning curve. And God is putting things in my path to teach me, you know, what I need to do in different environments, different circumstances to bring forth that right love.
Right.
And that's what Medjugorje has done for me.
We're all growing. We're all a piece of art in progress.
Yes, that's for sure.
Really. And every day is a day of conversion.
Absolutely.
Right? Yes. Every day we get the chance to do something, to say yes to God or to deny God.
Yes. That's
so
right.
Every
it's all
day,
choices. It's all about
it's
choices.
It's all about choices.
And a lot of times it's going against the flesh. It's you choosing to do the will of Jesus. Like Our Lady says, you, my child, seek the face of my son and do as he tells you. It's often, you know, your flesh is telling you to go one way, but you choose what Jesus would want you to do in that moment. It's not easy. That's the battle. The battle is the flesh.
Yeah.
The battle is the mind. And, you know, it's that's why when we climb the mountains in Medjugorje, it's so profound, because every step you're taking, you're not looking ahead. You're looking at that one step that you make sure you put your foot in the right spot.
So true.
And yeah, this is how we need to really look at the way things are coming at us in our life. Sorry. Every step has to be paid attention to.
You know? Yeah, because I totally agree with you on that, because when I was climbing Apparition Hill or even Cross Mountain, I at one point I noticed that I thought, this is like the walk of life.
Yes,
I have to put every I have to watch where I put my foot, because I nearly fell one time. I got jabbed in the knee another time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like all those little things that can happen to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Is just is resembled on that
yes,
on that walk up the hill.
Father Slavko said, "Between the two hills."
Father
Slavko's vision of the of Medjugorje pilgrimage is climbing the two hills and attending the services and the services that Our Lady put in place, the evening services, which is the Rosary, the Holy Mass, and Eucharist adoration and veneration of the cross. That's something that Our Lady put in place.
Right.
And Father Slavko calls the pilgrimages the two climbing the two hills and the services. And because the climbing of the two hills is your Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
It really is your Calvary. Yeah. And so many things happen when you're climbing those mountains. I mean, I know my first experience, I remember on the third station at Cross Mountain, I just started weeping like a child. And it just something hit me. Like it was, it's almost like it's very spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you're climbing the mountains, it's very hard to explain into words.
It is.
But yeah, it is a very strong cleansing that happens. So that's why Medjugorje is such a special place, because Our Lady is there physically.
Mm-hmm.
There are graces that you get in Medjugorje that you can't get anywhere else. I mean, I always say to people, you know, go to Medjugorje. If you can go, go. Don't have to come with me. Go with anybody, but just make your way to Medjugorje, because what's happening in Medjugorje is so profound for the time that we're living in right now.
Yeah.
You know, it is our treasure in this darkness. It is the light of hope. And my pilgrimages are called Light of Hope, you know, because she is the light of hope right now in this dark world.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So.
But getting back to bringing Medjugorje home, like we said, not everybody has a possibility to go to Medjugorje. So if having not being able to go there, we can still take the teachings that Mother Mary gives us and implement them into our daily life here.
Yes.
So we can go to confession, monthly confession here. We can go to adoration here in there's chapels with the Blessed Sacrament open 24 hours. 7 days a week.
Yes.
We can go to daily Mass. There's Mass early in the morning or late in the evening. The different parishes hold Masses at different times.
Yes.
We can belong to a prayer group or just even join online. There's a Facebook page, I believe, of Medjugorje where you can participate or, you know, follow the prayers there.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and what was the other one? Fasting.
Fasting.
We can put aside 2 days. Mother Mary recommends fasting for Wednesdays and Fridays. I've tried it. It is very difficult to do. But you know what? You have to take baby steps.
Yes.
We're not meant to fast full days. I mean, even the saints didn't start off by fasting a full 24 hours or a full day.
Yeah.
It's just baby steps. One day you fast from coffee. Another day you might fast from using your phone for half the day.
Yes.
So there's different kinds of fastings that we can do.
Yes.
So the beauty of this, bringing Medjugorje home, is telling people, you don't need to go there. It's nice if you can, but if you can't, we can do this here. And will your program help promote? Is that the intention of your program, to help promote people here in Toronto?
Yes.
Through Zoom or through your prayer services?
Yes. To encourage people to learn how to live in the right way.
How beautiful.
How to walk in the right way, and to give them the tools that Our Lady has given us.
It's a beautiful calling you have, friend.
Yeah, so I'm praying that our next gathering together, one of the visions that we have is to have our guide in Medjugorje climb Apparition Hill on Zoom, and we will follow with the rosary here physically.
Wonderful.
So just to give them a taste, because there's a certain spirit in Medjugorje.
Yes.
And to bring that spirit here, and it's very important, at least for me. It's become my mission, and I also bring people to Medjugorje who can go. I go twice a year. And my next one is in October.
October. So if some people want to contact you, is there a number or something that you'd like to leave with our...
Yeah, I can leave my phone number and my email address. You just have to send me a text or whatever. But my October pilgrimage right now is sold out. I'm booking now for May 1st to the May 11th. Uh-huh. I go twice a year, usually October and May. Mm-hmm. And everything that you need to do in Medjugorje, we do. And so every time we go, we bring a priest with us. Right now, we're bringing a priest from Trinidad. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be doing a healing of the families on this particular pilgrimage, a very powerful prayer that he's going to be introducing to us at this pilgrimage. So mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to going to Medjugorje. So, but I want to encourage anyone who can go to go. But if they can't go, they can join us once a month in our group meetings, and they will learn everything they need to learn about Medjugorje and the spirit of Medjugorje and the purpose of Medjugorje. And to help give them the tools to walk daily and to let them know that they're not alone.
Yeah.
We're not alone. We're not all alone. Connected. And, you know, Our Lady is with us. That's for sure.
And that's something that's very important that we need in our society today, is to feel connected. Because there's so much fragmentation.
Yes.
People don't know where they belong, whether they're coming or going. Yes. And everything is just seems upside down.
Yes.
But when you're connected to someone, there's that strength and that peace and that willingness, you know, to persevere.
Yes. And authenticity. Yeah. People... Are, like, you need to be with people who are authentic, who are real, you know, who love you truly. You know, it's not a falseness, a facade that's going on in the world right now. It's all about how you look and all that. It's
the illusions.
The illusions of love. And so we want to bring people together to love together in the right way. And so we want to be children of God.
Well, God bless you, Angela. And thank you for all that you do for our community.
Thank you.
And for your organizing your pilgrimages. Would you like to just leave with the your number?
Sure.
Or your contact information?
Yes. Yeah. So why don't you can reach me at 416-277-2758. That's my cell number. You can call me anytime or text me. My email address is angelamazza@rogers.com, angelamazza@rogers.com. You can send me an email, and if you want further information or if you just want to talk about Medjugorje, I'm willing to speak to anyone, you know, to give a message of hope and light.
Thank you. And maybe we can, once we know when your next prayer service will be, we can maybe put it on our website.
Thank you. So it'll be in about a month's time, so I will let you know, and definitely... All are welcome. It happens at St. Margaret Mary Parish in Woodbridge, off Islington.
Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, dear listeners, it's worth going. It's quite beautiful. Yeah. So thank you so much for sharing your beautiful testimonial with us, Angela. You're an inspiration to myself, and I'm sure to many of the listeners who have heard you speak today. And God bless you. And dear listeners, thank you for tuning in today. And I leave you until next time. And God bless you. Take care for now. Bye-bye.
Been listening to Sacred Space, hosted by Beatrice Corbo, here on Radio Maria Canada. If you have any comments or questions, please send them to sacredspace@radiomaria.ca. To learn more about this program, please visit radiomaria.ca/sacredspace.